Our reading, in our second reading, the Old Testament reading to the book of Obadiah. Most of you will remember there's only one chapter there, so we will begin and complete the chapter, the book of Obadiah, this afternoon, Lord willing. Obadiah chapter 1, verse 1. Hear now the inerrant, infallible, and inspired word of God. The vision of Obadiah. Thus saith the Lord God concerning Edom. We have heard a rumor from the Lord, and an ambassador is sent among the heathen. Arise ye, and let us rise up against her in battle. Behold, I have made thee small among the heathen. Thou art greatly despised. The pride of thine heart hath deceived thee, thou that dwellest in the clefts of the rock, whose habitation is high, that saith in his heart, Who shall bring me down to the ground? Though thou exalt thyself as the eagle, and though thou set thy nest among the stars, thence will I bring thee down, saith the Lord. If thieves came to thee, if robbers by night, how art thou cut off? Would they not have stolen until they had had enough? If the grape gatherers came to thee, would they not leave some grapes? How are the things of Esau searched out? How are his hidden things sought up? All the men of thy confederacy have brought thee even to the border. The men that were at peace with thee have deceived thee and prevailed against thee. They that eat thy bread have laid a wound under thee. There is none understanding in him. Shall I not in that day, saith the Lord, even destroy the wise men out of Edom and understanding out of the mount of Esau? And the mighty men, O Teman, shall be dismayed to the end that every one of the mount of Esau may be cut off by slaughter. For thy violence against thy brother Jacob, shame shall cover thee, and thou shalt be cut off forever. In the day that thou stoodest on the other side, in the day that the strangers carried away captive his forces, and foreigners entered into his gates, and cast lots upon Jerusalem, even thou wast one of them. But thou shouldest not have looked on the day of thy brother in the day that he became a stranger. Neither shouldest thou have rejoiced over the children of Judah in the day of their destruction. Neither shouldest thou have spoken proudly in the day of distress. Thou shouldest not have entered into the gate of my people in the day of their calamity. Yea, thou shouldest not have looked on their affliction in the day of their calamity, nor have laid hands on their substance in the day of their calamity. Neither shouldest thou have stood in the crossway to cut off those of his that did escape. Neither shouldest thou have delivered up those that did remain in the day of distress. For the day of the Lord is near upon all the heathen. As thou hast done, it shall be done unto thee. Thy reward it shall return upon thine own head. For as ye have drunk upon my holy mountain, so shall all the heathen drink continually, yea, they shall drink, and they shall swallow down, and they shall be as though they had not been. But upon Mount Zion shall be deliverance, and there shall be holiness, and the house of Jacob shall possess their possessions. And the house of Jacob shall be a fire, and the house of Joseph a flame, and the house of Esau for stubble. And they shall kindle in them and devour them, and there shall not be any remaining of the house of Esau, for the Lord hath spoken it. And they of the south shall possess the mount of Esau, and they of the plain the Philistines, and they shall possess the fields of Ephraim and the fields of Samaria, and Benjamin shall possess Gilead. And the captivity of this host of the children of Israel shall possess that of the Canaanites, even unto Zarephath. And the captivity of Jerusalem, which is in Sepharad, shall possess the cities of the south. And saviors shall come up on Mount Zion to judge the Mount of Esau, and the kingdom shall be the Lord's. May God add his blessing to the reading and hearing of his most holy word. So we come to Obadiah. Who is the prophet Obadiah? It's very difficult to know. The name Obadiah is used like 20 times in the Old Testament to talk about somewhere between 12 and 13 different individuals. The name itself is a fairly common name. Obadiah, we hear Ebed-Yah. Ebed-Yah, or Obadiah, which means the servant of Jehovah. And so you can imagine why it's a popular name, right? Servant of Jehovah. So because nothing is known about the author, the date of writing is also difficult. Many times if we know the author, we can affix a date of writing. But because we don't know much about him, we have to use some of the circumstances of the book itself for the dating of the book. And there are basically two believing scholars' views on this. So two orthodox views with regard to Obadiah. The first is that the book of Obadiah was written sometime around or just after the fall of Jerusalem to Nebuchadnezzar. And that Esau, Edom, the Edomeans, if you will, that they participated with the Chaldeans in the sack of Jerusalem. That would have been a horrible thing to do, seeing that they were ancient brethren, Jacob and Esau. They were relatives. They were, as we say down here, they were kin. And yet as kin, they, it says in the passage, did three different things, right? The first thing they did was they entered into Jerusalem with the army of the Chaldeans and took their stuff. Second thing that they did was those that had been delivered, they captured them and turned them over to the Chaldeans. And the third thing that they did is some of them they killed outright. Remember, earlier today I told you that one of the things that characterizes Esau and the Edomites is their hatred for the sons of Jacob. And that's what we see here. Okay, so that's the first view, that it has to do with the fall of Jerusalem in 586 BC, around that time when Nebuchadnezzar levels the city. But there's another view, also by competent, godly scholars, that, no, actually this is the invasion by those marauding Gentiles during the days of King Jehoram ben Jehoshaphat, or Jehoshaphat. So King Jehoram, then, remember what happens, Jehoshaphat makes a league with the northern kingdom. His son Jehoram then marries Athaliah, you remember that. And then there is an invasion, and Jehoram ends up dying, right? And Jerusalem comes under the reign of Athaliah. Okay, well, during that time, Dr. Gleason Archer would say that's what's being spoken of here, that the Edomites joined in that marauding of Jerusalem in the days of the fall of Jehoram. All right, so which one of those two is the right view? My opinion is the former is the right view, that this has to do with the fall of Jerusalem. And the reason I'm saying that is because in Psalm 137, we have a record there, right? How does it begin? By Babel's streams, right? By the streams of Babylon, we sat down and we wept, and our captors required of us to sing the songs of Zion. How does that psalm end? Remember the children of Edom, Lord, who in the day that Jerusalem was destroyed said what? Tear it down, tear it down, tear it all the way down. Right? And so upon the analogy of Scripture, I'm more inclined to think with Dr. E.J. Young that this is being spoken of the destruction of Jerusalem in the time of Nebuchadnezzar. Okay? All right, so that gives us that. How do we remember the book? Really, there's not much of an outline. It's only one chapter. But here's how we remember the book. Are you ready? Jacob have I loved, and Esau have I hated. And that's how we remember what Obadiah is all about. Okay, well, let's dive into the text then for a few moments that we have remaining. The first section, verses 1 through 9, the judgment against Edom. The nations are called by the Lord against Edom. The Lord has set Edom as an easy prey, very small in the eyes of all the nations. There is no threat, no danger in attacking her. And notice the sovereignty of the Lord over even unbelieving nations. The second thing that we want to remember begins in verse 3, and this is something that will preach in every age of the church. Thy pride, the pride of thine heart, hath deceived thee. thou that dwellest in the clefts of the rock. We see the wickedness of pride here, don't we? What does Esau think of himself? What do the descendants of Esau think? They're safe. We can't be assailed here. We live in a mountain fortress. You can't bring us down from here. No. We see you coming miles and miles off. We'll be ready when you get here. We're well defensed. We can't be touched, and so on. And notice what the Lord says. Though thou exalt thyself as the eagle, and though thou set up thy nest among the stars, thence will I bring thee down, saith the Lord. And the destruction, the Lord says, will be complete. If thieves came, would they not leave a few things behind? They would rob until they had enough, and they'd leave some things behind. If someone came in to steal all your grapes, wouldn't they leave a few gleaning grapes behind? It's not how it's going to be for Esau. Not going to have anything. Esau was steeped, and his descendants are colored with this as well. And I use that word colored advisedly, right? Because Esau comes in from the field, he's famished. He sees that Jacob is mixing up a bowl of red pottage. What is the word for red in Hebrew? Adom. Edom. What does Esau say? Give me some of the pottage. Jacob says, I'll trade you. You give me your birthright, you can have some pottage. Esau says, what good is my birthright to me if I'm dead? I'll have the Edom instead. Notice, his birthright is gone, and from that day forward, all of his descendants are named Red, because he chose his birthright in the food of this world. Forever, he's known as Edom, Edomea, the Edomites. Why? Because they chose red over heaven. That's why. Talk about being a sojourner, there you go. Where did Esau decide to set down his roots? In a bowl of pottage. Right? Okay, so the Lord says, no matter, you're going to, how are the things of Esau searched out? How are the hidden things of him sought up? All the men of thy confederacy have brought thee even to the border. The men that were at peace with thee have deceived thee and prevailed against thee. And then the Lord goes on to say why this will take place. For thy violence against thy brother Jacob shall cover thee, and thou shalt be cut off forever. We see those three things that he did. He entered into the gates of Jerusalem with the army and carried away stuff himself. He turned in those that were escaping and killed some of them, those three things. And so the Lord will bring down Esau. His treasures shall be dug up. Those who feign peace with him will come with a vengeance, and the wise and the understanding and even the mighty will be cut off. All right, so the cause of that judgment is the second portion in verses 10 through 16, and that judgment is described as the day of the Lord, and all the heathen upon or with whom they have allied themselves will come against them, and in that day what they have done shall be visited upon their own heads. Remember Edom's children, Lord, right? And so the Lord is answering that prayer here in the book of Obadiah. And then in the final section, but upon Mount Zion shall be deliverance, and there shall be holiness, and the house of Jacob shall, notice, possess their possessions. They'll have their inheritance, in other words. And it's Jacob particularly spoken of to remind us why Esau is so far gone, because Esau turned away from that inheritance, whereas Jacob desired it. And there's a play on words again. The word for possession is the word Yerush. That's the same word we get Yerushalem from, Jerusalem, right? And Yerushalem means the possession of peace, Shalom and Yerush put together, okay? They shall possess their possessions as a play on words. They shall Yerush their Yeresh, right? But in Hebrew, that's art, and that's memorable, and that's given in phrasing like that to help to remember. And it is also emphasized in that kind of play on words so that the inheritance of Jacob is what is being spoken of here that he desired and Esau did not. Jacob, because he desired the inheritance, he will possess his possessions and Esau will have nothing. They will be utterly destroyed and everything will be taken from them. So then also notice that it does speak to an end of the chastisements of the Lord. I mean, we are talking about Jerusalem being sacked here, and yet Jerusalem will be established once again. And so there is a prophecy of future blessedness for the Israelites here, for those Judahites, if you will. And you have to know a little bit about the geography of the area. So Edom is in the south. It's on the southwest. Southeast. Philistia is the southwest. I'm trying to do this in my head backwards. You know, it ends up funny sometimes. Funny, haha. Okay, so Edom is over here, right, on the southeast. And the Philistines over here on the southwest. And so what happens? Notice he says, and they of the south shall possess the mount of Esau, and they of the plain the Philistines, and they shall possess the fields of Ephraim and the fields of Samaria, and Benjamin shall possess Gilead, all the way in the north into Transjordania. In other words, the Lord promises to Judah and to Benjamin, those two faithful tribes in the south, all of the land. And again, this is symbolic of the faithfulness of the southern kingdom, although they were destroyed and taken captive for their faithlessness, there is restoration that will come to them. And so the captivity of this host and of the children of Israel shall possess that of the Canaanites, even unto Sarephath. You know where Sarephath is? That's way up in the north. That's all the way up to Syria. Way up in the north. The captivity of Jerusalem, which is Sepharad, and so those who were carried away captive, sold as slaves by the Babylonians to the Tyrians, who took them way out into the Mediterranean Sea in Sepharad, they will be restored, no matter how far they've gone, in other words. That's what the Lord means there. No matter how far they've been carried away captive, I will bring them again and turn their captivity, and they shall possess the cities of the south. And saviors shall come up upon Mount Zion to judge the Mount of Esau, and the kingdom shall be the Lord's. And that's how the book ends. Of course, that last section there, 17 through 21, that's messianic, right? That's given in prophetic terms that those people understand, but it's really talking about the days of Messiah. All right, thus ends the reading of Obadiah. Let's